Open up your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 through 8. Let us all stand in reverence to the Word of God. Thank you so much, brother. The Apostle Paul, he writes these words and he says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Let us pray, everybody. Dear God, I just give you thanks once again for just this awesome opportunity that you give us to come today to your house, to be able to take time and come and listen to your word and praise your name. Thank you, Lord, for everyone that's here. Thank you, Lord, for everyone that's listening on our live stream, and those that are connected with us this morning. Blessings, Lord, on everyone here today. Thank you so much. I pray, Lord, that the words that come out of my mouth come from you to your people this morning. In Jesus' name, I pray these things. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So, believe it or not, this year is about to end. Some say, thank God. there's so much that's happened this year. I mean, we had the pandemic. We still do. We had the riots. We had the elections. I mean, there's so much that went on this year. But it started so good. It started so well. We were so optimistic in the very beginning. I don't know if you remember that. It started so well. Now many are tired. Others are just plain disgusted with stuff. I can tell by the things that they write on their posts. I can tell by the way that I, when I hear them speak, I can tell that they're just broken by this year. And they can't wait for this year to end. I don't know if that's you today. I mean, they can't wait for this year to end. Some started well in church, but with all the things that I just mentioned have been dragged away, they are no longer here. They started so well, but they did not finish well. They started with a great plan. Some people call it New Year's resolution. Do you have one for 2021? I was reading a post of one of our members, and it was this. It was a son asking his dad this question. Dad, what exactly is a New Year's resolution? And this is how the dad described it. It is a to-do list for the first week of January. A to-do list for the first week of January. I thought that was so funny. And honestly, I thought it was so true as well for so many. Because in essence, the new resolution, New Year's resolution, does not get past the first month of January at times. Again, so true in many cases. They start so well, but do not finish. I've titled this message, Finishing Well. Finishing Well. We're about to finish this year, 2020. This letter from the Apostle Paul to Timothy is the last letter that the Apostle Paul writes. It's the last epistle that the Apostle Paul writes to his son in the faith, Timothy. The Apostle Paul is about to die. What we just read right now are his last words. And so you know, the Apostle Paul, as he's writing these words, he is actually on death row. He's about to get executed, and he knew that. His head was about to be chopped off by the current emperor, Nero. Do you understand what I'm saying? His head was about to be removed from his body. Right. As he's writing these words, these were his last words before that happened. And I don't know what you're, thinking. You're saying, Pastor, man, that doesn't sound too good to me. Pastor, that doesn't sound like a good ending to me. But you're going to see in a minute that it is a good ending. You're going to see in a moment that the Apostle Paul finishes well. Again, he's writing this letter to his son in the faith. He's writing this letter to the person that's going to take his place. And he's giving him, Timothy, good advice, last advice. In fact, I want you to hear the advice that he gives to Timothy. And if you read just a few verses before, this is what he tells Timothy, his son in the faith. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. He says, Timothy, preach the word, man. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, and he's talking to Timothy, he says, but you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist. In other words, keep sharing your faith. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. This is the advice that he's giving to his son in the faith. And it's advice that he's giving to us today. But verse 6 is very interesting to me. Verse 6, he says this to him, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. The Apostle Paul knew as he was writing these words, as he is writing this epistle, he knew that his time was up. He knew that he was about to be put to death. He knew that he was going to die. It was a drink, he says, a drink offering. A drink offering was part of the sacrifice in the Old Testament. It was a drink that was poured on the altar of sacrifice, and as the high priest or the priest poured on that drink onto that sacrifice, in essence, that liquid, that drink, as it hit the sacrifice, it would become steam, it would become vapor, and it would dissipate, it would disappear. And he's telling Timothy that he will no longer be on this earth very soon. That he was about to be sacrificed. And if there's anyone that knew about sacrifices, it's the Apostle Paul. Because this is what he tells the Romans. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, and we're studying this. He says this, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. So in essence, what he's saying here is, I am going to die, Timmy, I'm going to die the same way that I lived in obedience to God. So the Apostle Paul was about to die. The great man of God was about to be killed. Now, if you go further down in that same chapter, go down to verse 13. He gives Timothy some instructions. Verse 13, this is what he tells Timothy. He says, when you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas. So the Apostle Paul is in this dungeon. Again, he's waiting his turn to be executed, to be killed. So as you can imagine, in that dungeon in those days, it wasn't like the jails today, I'll tell you that much. They didn't have the televisions and the gyms and the recreation outside where you can lift weights and all that. No. If you found yourself in those days in a dungeon like that, man, I would feel so sorry for you. It was cold. That tells us that the Apostle Paul was suffering. It was a bad situation. But then even worse than that, verse 14, he tells Timothy, he says, Alexander, the metal worker, did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. We don't know exactly who this Alexander guy was. But if he is mentioned by the Apostle Paul, it's because he must have some type of leadership in the church. If he was mentioned by the Apostle Paul, it's because he was someone that was working within the church that turned on him. This church leader abandoned him. But not only that, not only him, verse 16. Now listen to this. The Apostle Paul tells Timothy, at my first defense, no one came to support me, but everyone deserted me. Wow. So do you get the picture? Can you envision what's happening in the life of the Apostle Paul at this very moment? He knows that he was going about to die. He knows that his head was going to be removed from his body. And while he's waiting, he is cold. He is suffering. But at the same time, he knows that his best friends have abandoned him. That his best friends in the ministry have deserted him. No one came to his support. The Bible says specifically, everyone deserted me. And with all of that, the end of verse 16 just totally blows me away. It astonishes me. You want to know what he says at the end of verse 16? On top of all of what I just mentioned, he says this, may it not be held against them. The Apostle Paul did not want to enter heaven with a bitter heart. Now I want you to hear his heart, verses 17 and 18. And if you want, you want to just close your eyes for just a moment. Just listen to me read to what the Apostle Paul says here, verse 17 and 18. Now, pay very close attention, because I want you to hear the Apostle Paul's heart. And this is what he says. He says this, again, he is saying this in the midst of all that I just mentioned. He says, but the Lord stood at my side and he gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. When he says the lion's mouth, he's talking about Nero. In verse 18, the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. How many can praise God this morning? Even though he was about to be executed, Paul was confident. He was fully confident that God was with him. Paul knew that God was at his side. Church, even in the toughest of our trials, God does not leave us. Even in our lowest point in our lives, God is there. God is at our side. He never leaves us. He is there until the end of time. Amen. Praise God. So Paul trusted God when things didn't make sense, because that's what happens sometimes when we're going through the trials and when we're going through the struggles. Things do not make sense at that very moment. Paul trusted God when things didn't make sense. But Paul knew that that was God's will. Paul knew that him dying was God's will. Paul knew that him dying this way was because God was allowing it. He knew that at the end of the day, God has the last word. God has the last word. But Paul was ready. He was ready to meet his Creator. So Paul makes three of the most amazing statements, I think, in the entire Bible, let alone in this last epistle. Go back to verse 7. He says three things here that I pray that you can really wrap your head around, that I pray that you really pay attention to what I'm going to say this morning, because it is so important. He makes these three astonishing statements. And he says this: first, I have fought the good fight. Secondly, I have finished the race. And lastly, I have kept the faith. Amen? Amen. This is the verse, by the way, on my father's tombstone. It is the verse that my brothers and my mom allowed me to choose. I chose this one. In fact, it is the verse that I want on my tombstone. It is a verse that will describe how I lived my life. But more importantly, it is going to be a verse that's going to describe how I finished my life. So the Apostle Paul, the first thing that he says, I have fought the good fight. How many are fighting the good fight this morning? Yeah? How many are fighting the good fight? Here the Apostle Paul is envisioning a battle. He is envisioning combat. He's probably envisioning a Roman soldier. The Roman soldiers were tip-top soldiers. They were fully trained. Yeah, they knew how to kill you very quickly. They were trained very well in how to take you down and how to take you out. Very well trained. One thing that a Roman soldier always had, that you would always see on a Roman soldier is his scars. His scars. If you wanted to see a good Roman soldier, all you had to do is look at his arms, look at his body, look at his face, and you will see immediately the scars on him. If he was a good soldier, yep, you would see those scars on his person. Do you know that the Bible says that we are to be soldiers as well for Christ? So as good soldiers, we too are to have scars. I am going to even say that you cannot be a good Christian if you do not have the scars to prove it. You cannot be a good soldier if you're not fighting against sin. You cannot be a good soldier if you're not fighting against the world. You cannot be a good soldier if you're not fighting against the devil. So let me see your scars. Notice here that the Apostle Paul says that he's fighting a good fight. In the original language, in the Greek, the term good fight, good, he's actually saying it's a noble fight. In other words, he's saying it's a fight worth fighting. It's a noble fight. Meaning this, church, that we are to make sure that we are fighting the correct fight. Why do I say that? I say that because some Christians have chosen to fight the wrong battles. They're fighting the wrong battles. Some today have chosen to fight politicians, for example. How can I tell? 90% of their media posts are trashing the politicians, whether it be Trump, whether it be Biden, whether it be Obama, whether it be whoever's in office. You know what's funny about that? Again, 90% is they're trashing all the politicians and the senators and all that. And I'm not saying that they're good or bad or they probably are not good. And I see them trashing them, but then on the next post, I see them posting up a Psalm 23. Then they post a very nice Bible verse. Totally confuses me. Again, I don't see this kind of behavior from the apostles. I don't see them in any type of confrontation with government at all. I do not ever see the apostles trash talking the senators or the emperor for that matter. In the next 2 weeks, I will be talking about that more. When we get to Romans 13, where the Apostle Paul actually addresses us, the Christians, and how we are to handle politics. If you want to get a head start, you might want to read Romans 13. But I don't see this kind of behavior from the apostles. So I see a lot of Christians fighting the wrong fight. So the Apostle Paul here is saying that we have to choose our battles well. What kind of battles, Pastor? Okay. If you choose to fight for your family, that's a good fight. If you choose to fight for your church, that's a good fight. If you choose to fight for the advancement of the gospel, that's a good fight. Church, you must choose your battles well. Secondly, the Apostle Paul says that we are to finish the race. The ancient Greeks would run marathon races. They were into a lot of competition. Marathon races are races where the person runs for many miles. In fact, we run marathon races today. And the most important thing about a marathon race, if you know anything about races of this nature, marathon races, is getting to the finish line, even if you're not the first one. Even though if you're there first, that's preferred. So what the Apostle Paul here is saying about running the race is finishing the race. If we are here in church and we come and we're faithful, the goal, the idea is that we finish the race. God wants us to finish the race. In fact, God wants the best for us. I was looking at this verse, Jeremiah 29:11. I fell in love with this verse. Here's what God directly says to us. He says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a," I love this last word, "and a future." In other words, God has plans for every single one here today. And the plans are good. But we must finish the race. You can't stop. You cannot get distracted, because it's so easy to get distracted. The obstacles in life can distract you. Other people can distract you. The world can distract you. Many, many moons ago, many years ago, believe it or not, I used to run a lot. In fact, I was able to run up to 5 miles. Can you believe that? Some are saying, nah. No, true, I used to run. We used to have this university, Hofstra University. My brother's here, he knows exactly where it is. John knows exactly where it is. So I would go there with a couple of guys and we would run. They had a track and field there and we were allowed to go and run. And I was so proud of myself, because after a couple of weeks, I was able to hang with those guys, those other guys, and I was able to finish. Oh, it was so satisfying to finish. I would be able to get to the finish line. But you know that there were times, though, that while I was running the course, I would see other people that were stopped on that same course. In fact, there were people that I've seen before that had run all the way, and I knew that they were able to do it, but there were times when I just saw them and they were like this. One time I saw them even throwing up. So guess what I did? I stopped too. I got distracted. They're just seeing them just in that position of just being stopped. It influenced me to also stop. And at times we get influenced by others, and it makes us stop the race. Church, we cannot stop the race. We must finish well. We must continue. We cannot stop. Amen? The Hebrew author puts it this way, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. He says, "And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." I love verse 2. And he says, "Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith." Amen. Finally, the Apostle Paul says, "I have kept the faith." Now, this last part is not easy. I'll tell you what is easy. When everything is going right, it's easy to keep the faith. When you have a job, when you have a car, you have a roof over your head, You have all these things, then it's easy. But what happens when things start to go sour? What happens when things start to go bad? What happens when things start to go sour? When it seems that God is silent, when it seems that you don't hear from God, and it's like you want to throw in that towel, and you want to give up. One of my heroes in the Bible is Job. Remember Job? Job never threw in the towel. If you read chapter 1, Job 1, there's a conversation between the devil and God. The devil tells God, he says this to him, "The only reason Job is trusting you is because everything is going right for him. You've blessed him out of his socks. You've given him everything that he's ever needed." In fact, Job was probably one of the richest men that ever lived by today's standards. But the Bible says that Job got tested. Everything got taken from him, his properties, his family, and finally even his health. But do you want to know what Job said in the middle of all of this? This is what he says. He said this, "God giveth and God taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Amen. Praise God. Church family and friends, at times God will allow for you to be tested. And what is he testing? He is testing your faith. Your faith in him. He is testing your trust in him. You know what it is, what he is expecting? He is expecting that you praise him even in a bad year. He's expecting that you praise him even when things are going bad. I love how the Bible defines faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says this. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for." Now listen to this. "And it's the evidence of things not seen."
Hi, Pastor Manny here. We thank you so much for tuning in. It's a true blessing for us. If you like what you heard today, please go right ahead and download the message or share it with others. But we also invite you to come to our church at Boynton Beach. God bless you all.